And welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alex Cooper. I'm filling in for Jeffrey Davis today. My guest this morning is Paul Vercolone of Verc Enterprises, a recent finalist at the Family Business Awards ceremony a couple weeks ago in Boston, and a winner of the Community Service Award as well. Good morning, Paul, and welcome.
Morning, thank you.
Thanks for coming in. So tell us a little bit about the Community Service Award that you won.
So the Community Service Award we got was for the work we do with the IDD community, the Intellectually Challenged community. We run a convenience store chain of 28 locations, and in each location we'll have one or two people of the of that community working in the stores, doing helping out with cleaning operations, cleaning the stocking shelves and such. Some of them have coaches that help them along with the work. But it works well for us. It's nice for that community. It's nice for these people to be able to get out of the community, have a job, something else going on in their lives. And we look at it as the way that we can give back to the communities we operate in.
Well, that's a terrific thing to do. I mean, it's really helpful.
Thank you.
It's impressive. I didn't even know, you know, that was like a policy or something that...
Well, it's something we started with. We had a friend where our offices are in Duxbury that had a child with disabilities, gave her some work in the office, some tasks to do, and then found that through different organizations like Cardinal Cushing School, Road to Responsibilities, Best Buddies, that we could get people to work in our stores through these organizations. And we first had a goal of, say, you know, maybe we can get 10% of our associates in the stores to be people with intellectual development disabilities. We hit 10%. We said, can we get 13 or 15%? We hit that. We finally had a goal of 20%, and we've hit the 20% goal. And when we open up a new store, we usually find it's easiest to find the local organization of Road to Responsibilities or Best Buddies or someone to find an individual or two to work in our stores, and sometimes they're our first hires, so, and it works well. It works well for us.
Does it present any kind of different challenges or anything like that?
Definitely different, yes. There are definitely different challenges. Some people have better capabilities than others, and but, you know, with those challenges, I have to say that the associates in the store really will work with these individuals, take them under their wing, and help them out in their tasks. And it's they feel as they're doing something, giving back to the community as well when they work with these individuals. And they're great individuals to work with. I mean, they come to work every day with a smile on their face. They're happy to be there. If they miss a day of work, they're more upset about it than we are. So it's really enjoyable.
Actually, I think I'm remiss. I think I should ask you to tell us a little bit about what Verc Enterprises is and how people can find it.
Okay, sure. So what we are, we started back in 1974. My father was a produce buyer for a supermarket chain called Supreme Markets. Supreme Market was bought out by Purity, Supreme Purity, and they became Purity Supreme. When that happened, he lost his position. So that back, as I said, in 1974. At that time, we started with a single car wash in Marshfield, Massachusetts, which had Exxon gas. So we ran that for a few years, my father and myself. When another gas station came available in the neighboring town of Duxbury, my brother Leah was getting out of Boston College at the time. He joined us. He went into that gas station. So from then, from that point forward, from 74 to today, we've grown the company mainly in the gas business, gas convenience store business, to 28 locations. When we started, our first gas station was a repair shop, which back then most all gas stations were. As the company grew, was growing, we were young back then, and we were able to transition as the industry was transitioning from repair shops to convenience stores. So we had a great opportunity because a lot of people in the business were older, as I am now, and they're saying, well, am I going to make the investment at my gas station to convert those bays to a store with coolers and candy and coffee and all these things when I'm thinking of retiring in a few years? So we had great opportunities to buy locations from people that wanted to get out of the business. We could convert them and get into that industry, which today it's very rare to find a gas station that repairs cars. They're all convenience stores. And most all of our stations have a Dunkin' Donut as well, with a drive-through. Some have car washes with them, and then we have standalone car washes too.
So do you franchise the Dunkin' Donuts, or is those...
So how that worked, we actually, in Pembroke, Massachusetts, back in the 80s, We were approached through Mobil Oil at the time. They said, we've been talking to Dunkin' Donuts. They're talking about some kind of joint venture. So we met with Dunkin' Donuts, and Pembroke, Massachusetts was the very first Dunkin' in a gas station in any type of satellite situation. Okay. We gave them 80 square feet in the middle of the store. In 80 square feet, they were approaching $1,000 a day in sales. And we said, wow. You know, we're getting a percentage of that for royalties. We're not running the business. We get a percentage of gross sales, anywhere from 9 to 12%, depending on the location. And we said, this is great. They have a very loyal customer that'll be there every day that we can piggyback on. And they don't take up, you know, that was 80 square feet. Now they're a lot bigger. Now they have drive-thrus. But, you know, the, obviously the test we said is great. It works. And we've expanded with that. Most locations we look at, the first thing we say is, can we put a Dunkin' in there? If we can, we know that we've got that much up on it.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of relationships with the big brands then, if you're dealing with the gas companies.
So with the gas, we're right now with Mobil, Exxon. We have one Irving location. And we have some Subway. We work the same deal with Subway at a couple of locations. I won't say it's the success that Dunkin' is, but it's a nice brand. It, unlike Dunkin', where that customer goes to Dunkin' every morning, you might go to Subway once a week or maybe twice or maybe every other week, but it does have a customer. And we typically do not do fresh food. We have one location, Mayflower location in Plymouth, Mass., mm-hmm. where we do fresh food. We have almost like a cafeteria style type operation without seating, but it's all mm-hmm. takeout, but it's hot foods. Pizza to meatloaf to American chop suey and things. But other than that, so this Subway gives us a fresh food offering in some locations.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you got a lot of variety in your business, which must make it kind of complicated to keep track of everything that's going on.
In a sense, I mean, I would say our managers at our stores do have a challenge, but what we also try to do is we try to deal with as few vendors as possible. Mm-hmm. So our vendor that does everywhere, most of us, cooler except for Coke and Pepsi and things like that, we'll try to get a lot of the cooler products, the cigarettes, the candies, some of the chips and things from one vendor. They do have to deal with other vendors. But with technology today, it's become a lot easier. You know, in the past, you know, when you ran a convenience store, you had to go out and see what was on your shelf, mm-hmm. count items and say, well, how many of these sold in the last 2 weeks so I could give another order? Mm-hmm. Today, everything's scanned through and you just pull up a report and say, okay, Snickers bars, we sold 15 last week. That's a good moving product. We'll put that down. Or mm-hmm. It's very easy to generate orders from prior years when first in the business.
Fascinating.
Yeah, as well with that, with gasoline, when we came in the business in 74, you know, I remember cold winter days going out and lifting the cover of a gas pump to read these little tiny numbers, put it down on a piece of paper, take it into the office, subtract that from the number from the day before, multiply it times 38 cents a gallon to see how many gallons you sold, how many gallons you needed. Then you had to call in, you had to collect all your credit cards, call in an order. Today, there's someone in Houston, Texas that's monitoring our stations. They deliver a load of gas when they need it. So, technology makes things a lot simpler, which makes it easier to run multiple locations. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to wear a lot of hats. You rely on technology to do a lot of things.
Yeah, that's interesting. What other changes have you noticed in the business over the past 30, 40 years, I guess?
Yeah. Probably I would say the automation of things like that. You know, I would see... you can see in supermarkets with the self-checkout. We haven't quite gotten to that yet. I mean, that could be coming. I mean, labor has been pretty available years past. It is tightening up again now. Mm-hmm. And I think as things tighten, I see it especially more so in the car wash end of the business, the tunnel car washes, where we used to, vacuum the rugs, wash the windows, do all those things. Well, when labor gets tough, we got away from that. And people sit in their car and they ride through. Mm-hmm. So it's gone from, you know, typical car wash. Although you do still find car washes that specialize in interior cleaning, but our operations have gone from hiring 10 or 15 people a day to 3 or 4. And now, you know, the other thing that's coming along in that industry now, and some of our car washes have it, are you pull up and you, rather than talk to a person, you talk to a teller. Then you mm-hmm. put your money or your credit card in the teller. That processes the wash, the car pulls in, and you get the whole thing done. So I think automation, as labor gets tighter and tighter, is something we constantly have to look at.
Have you noticed any changes in the type of products in convenience stores or what people are buying? That seems like one of my little weird hobbies is to look at what's on the shelves.
So interestingly, we got involved with Circle K at one time, and Circle K is a national program. So it programs the store the way they would across the country. Well, that may not work at our station out in Fitchburg, where there's a big Spanish population, say. They're looking for certain items. So being a smaller operator, we can cater to that customer versus being part of a franchise and say, no, you put your whatever product here and this product here. We'll cater to the customer in the community and watch items. You know, we're constantly watching what sells, what doesn't sell. There's always the items that sell the least. We say, okay, we're constantly going to pull those off. Try something new. We're small stores. We're convenience stores. So we're not looking for the guy that comes in and says, hey, I got this new product and I'll give you a great deal. That doesn't work for us because we don't have a lot of space. We only want the items that are going to sell quick in a lot of volume.
Fascinating. Do you use that as an investment strategy?
Yeah. That'd be good if you only knew.
That's great insight that you have. Well, so you've got stores all across Massachusetts.
Our offices are on the South Shore, and that's where we started. So that's where the biggest concentration is, in the South Shore, the 128 belt. But then we expanded out to the 495 belt. We do have two operations in New Hampshire. But as we look to grow, gas is the main thing we do with the stores. So that dictates where we want to be. We want to be on an exit entrance ramp to a major highway. Those are typically the best locations for our industry. You know, years ago, especially you can see some of the stores we started with, were maybe a downtown location. Well, today, those people are commuting, on your commute, you know, if you can be on the entrance ramp to the highway and you get your coffee and whatever else you might need for the day, that's where we really want to be. So that's as we look for our growth. Typically, we'd like to be within the 495 belt. But, you know, as opportunity appears, we'd look at better stations to go outside of that as well.
Well, fascinating. Well, thank you for coming in today. So people can people want to get in touch with you. What's the best way for them to reach you?
So our offices are in Duxbury, and it's email, I guess, would be the best at verkenterprises.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming in today.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. That was pretty painless.
Yeah. Fascinating to learn about this business.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be back after these messages.